Everybody, happy new year. How's it going? I'm fired up. Shit, I am fucking fired up tonight. Hey, sorry. How's it going, everybody? I wasn't planning on doing an episode this week. I really wasn't. I was gonna give it a break. I was gonna take a break and just say fuck it. This will be, you know, the 1 week that I've skipped, because I have put on, I don't know, 20 or so straight episodes without a break. I've been doing this every week, week in, week out, lining up guests, doing everything myself, from picking out the movies, lining up the guests, recording the interviews, editing the interviews, doing all the promotional things. In December, I fucking gave up promoting the podcast in December. I just took a break. It's a lot of goddamn work. As those of you listening who are fellow podcasters, you guys already know that. For the rest of you, yeah, it's a lot of fucking work. To put out a 1 minute promo, takes me hours. Partially maybe because I'm maybe not very good at it. But what the hell? Yeah. So I just took a break from that. I put the episodes out and, promoted them on socials, but I didn't do, I didn't do any trailers or anything like that. And I feel kind of bad about that. I do, because those episodes aren't doing as well as I had hoped and as I thought they would, given the fact that everyone is on break. But I guess, as a corollary to that, you guys are all also off your routines, and I was off my routine. People are home when you're not used to people being home, or, other shit happens, like, maybe you normally drive somewhere and that's when you listen to the podcast and you're not doing that. You're not taking your kids to school. You're not sitting in line waiting to pick them up, whatever it is. So, the listens were down a little bit in December, and that is what it is. And I hope that people go back and circle back and hit those episodes up. And I wish you would. Because I think those are good interviews, and those are some fun movies, and it's a little bit different, and, I did some different things. I got to talk to Misty Talley, about Santa Jaws, a sci-fi, original movie, which came together completely differently than a lot of the other movies that I talk about. So that was kind of cool. So there's some cool stuff in there. I dug out an old interview that I did with Owen Edgerton about Follow, which is a movie that, like, nobody has seen. It's one of the single location movies. I absolutely love it. So, if you're one of the ones, if you're listening and you missed those episodes, go back and check them out. But as for me, as for tonight, I poured myself a drink. I am getting ready to pour myself another here in a minute, and I thought I would spend the time sort of reflecting back on 2020 and the year in movies, because I used to do this thing on Modern Horrors, and I may do an article or a post at some point too, but the main thing I was known for on Modern Horrors was was putting together lists of movies that you missed. These are, recent releases that flew completely under the radar. And of course that's what grew into this podcast. And there is a, backlog of movies that I want to talk about, but there are also movies in, 2020 that came out that I want, I think are worth talking about. And it's going to take, a while to, get around to doing episodes on all of them. So I thought I would just give you guys a list and talk a little bit about a whole bunch of movies tonight that came out in the last year that people are sleeping on that I think you guys should check out. And normally, when I first time I did it, I think I did like six movies, and then I sort of started doing, like top 10 lists after a while. And, and part of the reason for that is, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort to actually sit there and write up a list and, write up a paragraph and think of something, witty and clever and funny to say about a bunch of different movies. But since I have this new podcast format, I'm going to throw 20 movies at you guys today. And as I sort of increasingly get drunk, and these are going to be movies that haven't really been talked about, definitely haven't done episodes on them, one or two of them might have been mentioned in passing in conversations with other people, but none of them really have had any in-depth discussion yet, and a great many of them, you know, sort of will be lined up for discussion. And I've broken up the list into two parts. The first list I'm going to go over are the ones that other people are definitely talking about. When I go through my letterbox, I can see the people that I follow. A lot of them have seen these movies, and most people are positive on them. But on the whole, they're still underseen. So some of you guys listening may have seen some of these. You may not have, but they're still not getting out there in the way that they deserve. So, you know, check them out if you haven't. Tell your friends about them if you have, because you just may not think to, you know, recommend some of these unless someone comes along and says, "Hey, no one's really watching this. So, hey, try to promote these a little more when people ask for, you know, movie recommendations and stuff." So that's the first part. And then the second part is going to be movies that almost no one is addressing at all. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's going to be the second part of the list. But first, I'm going to refill my drink. I'm drinking bourbon tonight. If you don't follow me on Twitter, if you haven't been following me on Twitter, I've started reviewing bourbons on my Twitter feed. And that's been a lot of fun as well. So, you know, if that's something you're into, check me out on Twitter. I get into bourbon, but right now what I'm going to do is before I refill my beverage, I'm going to queue up and introduce the first movie that we're going to talk about. It came out last year. There are a few people that are mentioning this one. You shouldn't be surprised to hear me want to talk about it, and that is Butt Boy.
So you're asking me to go off this theory you got about a white married male who happens to be a father living in the suburbs of Prittigie County, who also happens to be your AA sponsor, has been secretly running around, cramming objects, animals, and children up his ass. Then he somehow digests them, and he does this in sprees, almost in serial killer fashion. Is that about it?
That's Butt Boy. I like Butt Boy. This is a fun one. If you know me at all, anything having to do with butts is just my jam. My butt jam. I like it. There was a movie that I reviewed a couple years back called Assholes, and it was also about, you know, these people that got high and just wanted to, like, put things up their assholes, and then they, like, turned into assholes. It was awesome. I loved it. That's another good one, too, if you haven't seen it. But Butt Boy is, like, production-wise, looks way better than it deserves to. And it was made by the guys Tyler Cormack, the guys that do Tiny Camera, shit, what's it called? One second. Yeah, Tiny Cinema. They have like a YouTube channel and stuff. They do a bunch of shorts. You're pretty well known. Anyway, check it out, Butt Boy. It's fantastic. I really like it. Like I said, there are people talking about this, so you might have seen it. But if you have and you liked it, you know, tell some friends about it. The lighting in this thing is just absolutely exquisite. So I love it. The next one that I want to talk about is from one of the early guests, Aaron B. Koontz, and that is The Pale Door.
I understand there was a reward.
Of course. A handsome sum for these handsome men. Don't be afraid.
What just happened?
Yes, it's The Pale Door. It's Aaron B. Koontz. and all of his compatriots. Noah Segan shows up. It's a lot of fun. It's a horror western. It's extremely gory, and there's some heartfelt stuff there with the brothers. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a period piece. Like I said, people are talking about it, so I'm going to kind of go through these pretty quickly. But that's one that if you haven't seen it, like I said, you should definitely check out. It's on Shudder. It is getting, you know, a little bit more attention than some others, so that's good. But yeah, it's a Pale Door. So check that out. Another one that everyone was talking about, they were talking about it in festival, and then it came out almost immediately after, also on Shudder, and that's Anything for Jackson. Anything for Jackson is great. This is a possession movie. It's like they call it a reverse exorcism. It's really cool. There is a sequence that actually, you know, kind of plays on some tropes. And it sort of even set me up in a way, and I don't want to spoil it, I won't say too much about it, but there was a moment that I thought was just really brilliant, not necessarily like filmmaking brilliant, but like that you would write a bad guy this way, to have him do that, I thought was really clever. So that was a lot of fun. Anything for Jackson, I think, also on Shudder. You should check it out. The next one that's also on Shudder, that, you know, you might, it might be hard to find information on it, because, again, this is sort of a terrible name for a movie, because it makes it almost impossible to look up anything about it online, but that's Porno. Now, Porno is a movie that I saw in festival as well, and it did get a release on Shudder, and, you know, and some people are talking about it, and it is getting some buzz because of the name. But also, the subject matter is a lot of fun.
Guys, when we watch that movie, we unleash the sex demon.
Yes, that's right. A bunch of kids working at a movie theater with a very sort of backwoods, super religious upbringing inadvertently release a demon when they watch a porno movie that they find in sort of the back storage areas of the movie theater that they all work in. So this is a great movie. If you're of my generation, if you sort of grew up in the 80s and 90s, especially if you grew up in, you know, sort of a super religious community in the 80s or 90s, I think this will speak to you. And if you have ever, you know, sort of worked in a movie theater, especially if you worked in the movie theater, you know, back in those days, this is a lot of fun, and also has one of the best mangled dicks I have ever seen. I think maybe that has ever been put to film. So that's Porno. That's also on Shudder. Shudder is not sponsoring me, but Craig Engler hit me up on Twitter, and let's talk. Okay, so that's Porno. What's next?
Two men have stormed the studio, and they're holding Claire and Anthony hostage. And they need you to tell us what happened in room 221.
Yeah, feedback. Feedback is a good one. We actually reviewed this on Modern Horrors, I think. It was me, Jake, and Luke talked about this. This is a directorial debut from Pedro Alonso, and it's fantastic. Some guys take over a radio studio, and they're trying to force a confession of some kind out of one of the radio hosts. You got to get the feeling that everyone's a little bit guilty of something in this, and it's just a really fun, really tense single location thriller, where, you know, there are bad guys and there are worse guys, I guess, is sort of the best way to put it. Nobody's all, you know, squeaky clean, but some people are definitely worse than others. It was a lot of fun. It's super tense. Again, this is another one that's sort of available everywhere right now. Tubi, Amazon Prime, places like that. Feedback, definitely, absolutely, check it out. for sure. And then getting into sort of the creme de la creme here of sort of the top movies. So I'm going to go through these a little bit quicker, because like I said, people are talking about these, and I really want to get to the 10 movies that almost no one is talking about, and spend at least a little bit more time with those. So I'm going to run through these other five fairly quickly, but these are all, again, movies that I really, really love that absolutely deserve your attention. The next one is Sadistic Intentions. This is great. This is Mr. Jeremy Gardner. And it's a fantastic movie from Eric Penikoff. Luke Rodriguez called it one of the most romantic films of the year, and I think from a certain perspective that is true. It's very interesting, and I think it has some interesting things to say about people and relationships and communication. And I think that two people can watch this movie and come away with completely different ideas about what happened and what's sort of going through the minds of the characters in it. It's really interesting in that respect. So I really like it. It's also one of the most metal movies of the year. So that's really cool. Sadistic Intentions, Eric Penikoff. Check it out. It's awesome. The next one. There's another one that I saw and reviewed in festival a couple of years ago. It finally came out in 2020. British film from Abner Pastol called A Good Woman Is Hard to Find. This is all available on Shudder right now. It's admittedly a little bit more crime thriller than pure horror, but it's intense and it's real and it's gritty and it's really well made. Fantastic performances all around. This woman is just trying to find answers to what happened to her husband. She's a widow, and the cops really don't care because they are kind of writing her husband off as sort of like a drug dealer and somebody that just doesn't matter. And she won't accept that. She knows that that's not him. That's not the case. That's not what happens. And she sort of won't stop until she gets the truth. And in the middle of all that, she gets mixed up in this, sort of this drug crime thing. And it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. Really, really liked it. Like I said, people are talking about it. People are starting to find it. And it is on Shudder, so you can find it. But not enough people are finding it. So check it out. The next one is Rent a Pal. This is a weird one, and this is a little bit more divisive. I really like it. I thought it was excellent. I thought it's sort of like one of my top 20 movies of the year overall, out of everything that I've seen. I thought it was fantastic, but some people didn't like it. Some people thought it kind of falls apart in the third act, and it definitely doesn't necessarily go places that that maybe you want, or maybe it goes a little bit more by the numbers, where it sort of sets you up to be a little more subversive. But to me, that doesn't ruin what came before. What you did before is still there. It's still a part of the movie. Will Wheaton is in it. He's fantastic. And I think maybe there's something a little bit nostalgic, because it is about the sort of like the dating service thing. So some of you guys may not remember this, and certainly I was a child when a lot of this was going on. But I saw the TV ads, and even as a kid, you understand certain things. There are sort of matchmaking services, dating services, where people would record a videotape of themselves, talking about themselves, and then other people would come and pick those videotapes up, or pick up a stack of videotapes. Watch them and say, oh, I want to meet, this person, and that person. It's basically, Match.com is, believe it or not, guys, Match and Tinder and Bumble and all this stuff. It's not original. It's not a unique idea. That idea has been around forever. Those guys just took advantage of being able to aggregate so much more data and take advantage of advanced user interfaces and stuff like that. But it's all the same shit they've been doing forever. It's just, can you present yourself in, in a few minutes or seconds even, and make an impression on somebody enough that they want to get to know you more. It's sort of a nostalgic, more analog era. That's Rent-A-Pal. I really dug it. Then there's two left sort of on this list. The next one is The Swerve. A lot of people talking about The Swerve right at the end of the year. Terrible, terrible timing, maybe. Possibly. Maybe great timing to watch this movie. I don't know. The Swerve is fucked up. That's all I can say. It is fucked up. I think if you watch the trailer, it's been a while since I watched the trailer, you get the sense that it has something to do with, you know, this road rage type incident where the soccer mom is kind of being harassed by these teenagers. She swerves her car, they run off the road, crash into a tree, you know, she feels responsible. And that sort of event is such a small part of the actual chain of events of this movie. This is a bleak, depressing movie, and it's, I guess, maybe intentional, intentionally sort of ironic that the title of the movie kind of gets itself from this car crash. Because watching this movie is like watching a gruesome, horrible, nasty car wreck unfolding in slow motion around you over the course of 100 minutes. It's, or 95 minutes, I guess I should say. I don't know why I go back and correct myself over shit like this. You guys don't care. You're either going to watch it or you're not. That was dumb. So anyway, The Swerve. Yeah, it's brutal, and it has a rough ending. And actually, this is the reason I'm recording this tonight. I was going to record this episode last night, and I was so fucking depressed after watching The Swerve that I couldn't speak. I was like, I can't just get in front of a microphone and start talking about shit right now. Because that was dark, and it affected me. The point that I put on Baby Driver, and I was like, you know what? I need to watch that opening scene to Baby Driver just to, you know, sort of give myself a little pick-me-up. Because if you've never seen that, it's a fantastic scene. One of the best car chases ever. Even better than The Matrix Reloaded. I had to do that, and then, you know, just sort of went to bed after that, and that's okay. But yeah, The Swerve. So man, if you want something bleak and dark, then yeah, definitely, absolutely check out Swerve 100%. It will leave you dead inside if you are not already. And then the last one that people are talking about, and I'm really happy that people are talking about this one, but I want people to talk about it even fucking more, and I want even more people to see it, and that is Bit.
You know those teen vampire movies that feel like the horny soap opera fever dreams of a 8th grade diary? Here's how mine began.
Yeah, this is one that took a little bit of criticism around the modern horror chat because it felt like a WB show. Sorry, I'm old. A CW show. C-Kids, before it was the WB. Jesus Christ. Before it was the CW, it was the WB. Anyway, because it felt like a CW show. Well, it did. And honestly, that's what I liked about it. And I think that's what a lot of people who like it like about it. And I think the movie is very upfront about that. Brad Michael Elmore made a very stylistic, very much, you know, sort of teen melodrama vampire movie that's really gory with this very progressive, you know, feminist story to it. So it's great. I think you should check it out. I am working on trying to get Brad on the show to talk about it. Hopefully I'll be able to do that. But if not, we'll find some way to talk about it anyway. There's a few other people I know that are probably dying to talk about it. So, you know, we'll work something out. We'll get this one in there. And like I said, there are people out there talking about this one, but not enough. And if you are, you know, sort of a fan of that style, if you grew up like me watching stuff like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Dawson's Creek and all that stuff, and even the CW shows of today, because they haven't really changed, you know, stuff like Supernatural. Yeah, I think you probably enjoy Bit, especially if you like vampire shit. It's good, cool vampire shit, and I love it. So that's sort of my top 10 list of movies that some people are talking about, but more people need to be. Now I'm going to get into the top 10 list of movies that absolutely no one, almost no one on earth, but me, maybe one or two other people, are talking about right after I refill this with some more Woodford Reserve and Cherry Coke. I will be right back.
We'll be all right. We'll be okay. Do you know where we are? Do you know what happened to us?
Morning. Hello. I want to welcome you to my own little piece of paradise.
I'm getting you out of here.
You can run like rats in a maze, but there is no exit.
I'm back, and yes, what you just heard was the trailer for the first movie on this part of the list, and that is Alive, which actually has been kind of sitting around, sitting on a shelf, it seems like, for a while. If you look around, there's like festival dates, I think going back as far as 2018. This is a Rob Grant film that he might actually have even finished even before he did Harpoon. But it finally came out, probably because of Harpoon, and because Harpoon did so well, you know, the whoever owned the rights to this one maybe was able to leverage Rob's success into getting distribution for Alive. And I'm really glad for it, because it's a pretty cool movie. It's not as good as Harpoon. It's certainly not as, you know, sort of tightly constructed. But I think he didn't write this one. This is one that he just directed. I don't believe it was his script. I'm going off memory there, and I've had too much to drink tonight to start looking shit up now. So I'll just go with that. Yeah, he directed this one only, but you can definitely kind of tell it's got a little bit of his sort of sense of humor to it. And, you know, I can't even tell you the thing that I thought was really cool about this one. Because it just kind of spoils the whole thing. But basically the setup is these two guys, a man and a woman, wake up in a hospital, seemingly in a hospital, but they're the only ones there except for this like crazy sort of like madman doctor who insists that he's trying to keep them alive, and that they're only alive because of him and yada yada. And you know, and of course, he becomes sort of progressively crazier throughout the movie, and eventually they try to get away. So it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's maybe a touch divisive, but I thought it was really really well done and a lot of fun. So it's Alive. Where can you see this one? You can watch it, I think, on Amazon. And and don't confuse it with the movie #Alive, which is a zombie film that's on Netflix that actually got a lot of praise. I haven't seen that one, so I don't know. I've heard it's good. I don't really know anything about it, but I guess be aware of that. It's not #Alive, which is on Netflix. It's just Alive. It's currently on Showtime and available, you know, to rent or purchase on VOD. So that's that. It's also not the 90s movie about the cannibal soccer team. That's a good one too. Alive. So check that out. That's really cool. Next one on the list is one that kind of came out, and I was a little disappointed that there wasn't more fanfare around it. And that's Archons, which was made by the same guys that did Black Mountainside. So if you've seen Black Mountainside, and if you're a fan of that, I think check out Archons. It's Archons. I don't really know how you pronounce it. That's really fun. It's about this band that's a little bit, you know, sort of past their prime, and they're going out on this, you know, spiritual quest for inspiration, the way, you know, bands should, I guess, and they're going on a kayaking trip through, you know, the Canadian wilderness and doing mushrooms along the way. And there's, you know, it sort of becomes, I don't think it's too big of a spoiler to say it sort of becomes a creature feature at some point. Black Mountainside was kind of the same way, where it's sort of this slow burn type of thing, and more of a implicit a creature. They didn't show a whole lot. They show a little bit more of the creatures in Archons. I think that's to, you know, sort of mixed success depending on who you ask. I really dug it. Some other people didn't. But it was really cool. And there actually at one point it started to remind me of Under the Silver Lake. And if you've seen Under the Silver Lake, you probably know the scene I'm talking about. But there's a scene with a piano in Under the Silver Lake that this movie sort of started to remind me of, because it's kind of this big sort of cosmic conspiracy about music, which is kind of a neat idea, but obviously a wildly different take on it here with Archons and the Black Mountainside team. So well done. Really like that one. You can find that on VOD everywhere. That one's pretty cool. Okay. So next one that I want to talk about is Dreamland.
Princess here is getting married tonight to the Countess's brother. Some kind of vampire. I don't fucking know.
Oh, no, you don't want to suck me.
The Countess? She's a monster.
Where are the little people? The little people for the cake.
Hercules. He has your sister. I'm gonna get her.
What's this?
A deal. What am I gonna do to stop Hercules? I need a shower.
He wants a shower.
I'm gonna need a quiet gun.
He wants a shower and a gun.
Dreamland is one that almost no one is talking about. This stars Stephen McCaddy and Stephen McCaddy, along with Henry Rollins and Juliette Lewis, who you might have heard, recognize their voices in the trailer. And this is a weird one. You know, like I said, there's vampires and there's child prostitution and there's, I don't know, counts and countesses and hitmen and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this movie. So it's got an awesome, awesome, awesome cast. It's a really weird kind of otherworldly kind of movie, as the title might imply. You know, it's very sort of fairy tale like. It's very kind of Lynchian, but it's really gritty and violent. You know, where people's, you know, fingers are getting cut off and stuff like that. So yeah, this is Bruce McDonald, who you might remember from Pontypool, and that was really what got me interested in this one, is because I'm a big fan of Pontypool. And you know, if you thought that one was weird, then you just haven't seen anything yet. Once you see Dreamland, it's so it just amps that weirdness factor up to 11. And apparently, if you stuck around Pontypool for the post-credit scene, it kind of sets up this movie, Dreamland. So this seems like maybe something that Bruce McDonald's been working on for a while. But there are just these sort of straightforward moments that just all of a sudden transition into this nightmarishly freakish experience, and then back to, you know, sort of reality at the end. It's sort of like watching a dream or nightmare unfold on the screen. It's really good. Great performances from Rollins, and Juliette Lewis. Stephen McHattie is pulling double duty, playing two characters here. It's just fantastic. Cinematography is excellent. This is a really well-constructed movie that no one is talking about. And I guess no one really talked about Pontypool either. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, Dreamland. Yeah, guys. Check it out. This one, again, I think is also pretty pretty easy to find. It's well, it's at least on Amazon Prime. So, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely give it a look. So, and next, I've got another vampire movie on the list. Another, you know, colorful vampire movie on the list. This one from, you know, friend of modern horrors, Charlie Steeds. Charlie from the UK. He had come over, actually, to the States, to Nashville for a while, to Tennessee, and shot some movies. But I think this one he shot back home in England. And it's it was released without a ton of marketing behind it here in the States under the name Vampire Virus. But I think it came out in the UK with the title of After Dark or something like that. And this is one I saw, another one I saw at festival and reviewed that I really liked. It has one of the sexiest vampire scenes ever put to film, period.
Go out with the girls tonight.
If there's a hot guy there and he asks to buy you a drink, just let him.
Would you like to dance with us?
We'll look out for you.
Time to get laid, Jennifer!
I'm Jennifer.
Jennifer. Would you like to go somewhere quieter with me?
Whoa. What is this place?
It's our little secret, Jennifer. The perfect sanctuary for people like you and I.
Like what?
This is, I think, Charlie's best film to date. Death Ranch, and I don't know if Death Ranch is out yet. I've seen a screener for Death Ranch. Death Ranch is awesome. I'm kind of torn. I really like this one. I really like vampire movies, and so maybe I'm going to be partial to it regardless. Anyway, so I think, you know, putting all that aside, I really think that this is, this might be his best film, ever from a technical standpoint. The effects look great. The lighting looks gorgeous. You know, the music, sound design, all of it. The way the story is told and unfolds, it's fantastic. And I absolutely love it. And it got dropped here sort of late in the year, you know, with really almost no marketing. And it's really a bummer because it's a really, really good film and, definitely deserves attention. Charlie's been making a mark lately. The dude works hard. He puts out a lot of films, and they're a lot of fun. Winter Skin is fun. Like I said, Death Ranch, whenever you guys can see that, that's a really cool, you know, sort of like grindhouse sort of throwback thing. And then you have Vampire Virus or After Dark, which is, again, really sort of evocative of sort of like those 80s vampire movies. I can't say enough good things about it, really. I can't. So just please check it out, by all means. Okay. The next one is, wow, really, really shifting gears here. Almost gonna, you know, changing mindsets here, because the next one is a little movie called MOM, or Mothers of Monsters. I saw this one really out of nowhere. I hadn't heard anything about it, hadn't seen any marketing on it, and it's just sort of one of those ones that popped up on on streaming services, and I figured I'd take a chance on it because it was on Tubi. Tubi, and since then I think it's been put on Amazon Prime, and it's also, you know, on VOD stuff. This is Tushia Lyman is the director, and I'm not that familiar with her work, but I want to see more of it for sure. This is her, I guess, feature. You know, sort of her feature debut, and I guess the quickest, best sales pitch I can give for this movie is it's like a found footage version of We Need to Talk About Kevin. So if you've already seen We Need to Talk About Kevin, then I don't really need to say any more. You know pretty much what I mean. I mean, this is naturally, you know, going to be a tear down from performances like Tilda Swinton and Ezra Miller, but it's that subject matter, and it really follows the mom's journey as she tries to kind of document everything. You know, when she begins to suspect that her son is planning a school shooting, it's really disturbing. It's really harrowing. I don't fully, you know what to make out of the way that it all resolves and ends. There are some choices there that, frankly, are hard for me to process. And I think that's a good thing in a lot of ways. It just sort of makes it even more intriguing for me. It's not an easy watch by any means, especially if you have kids. But I think it's one that people should watch, and I think it's really well put together, and it's another one that I definitely want to get the director on and really, really get into it. So, you know, check out MOM, you know, Mom, Mothers of Monsters. It's it'll get under your skin, man. Okay, all right. I think probably my last break here coming up. So I'm going to tee up a movie that I just saw today while I go refill my drink, and it's a little film called Wild Boar.
What's that?
It's a longitude and a latitude, and that looks like some sort of frequency.
A frequency to what?
To a blip, to a beacon.
This is what happens when you smoke marijuana.
Let me ask you a question. Oh. Are you ready for your minds to go?
Wait. Don't go in there. What if this is one of those moments? None of you ever seen a movie?
It might be amazing.
Now, the only way that we're gonna live is to go through that hole.
It's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of a new one. See if you can stay off the menu.
And sorry, that is Barney Berman's Wild Boar. Barney Berman is the writer and director, and you may not know his name, but you no doubt have seen his work because he is a career makeup effects artist. He's worked on movies like Star Trek and Tropic Thunder and Grimm. He's got hundreds, literally over 100 film credits of various capacities as a makeup effects artist in all sorts of films, genre films, big budget films, small budget films, TV. Just looking through the list here, I see things like Teen Wolf and Bird Box and the new Star Trek movies, Zombieland. It's Mission Impossible 3. I mean, it goes back decades. His first credit here is Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, followed by House. So the guy has been around a long time doing this kind of work. So, as you might expect, the makeup effects, practical effects in this movie are top notch. They are fantastic. And that's honestly pretty much what I was expecting from the get-go. I've seen a few movies, you know, in the last couple of years that were made by career effects artists. One of them was a Bigfoot movie called Primal Rage. It was directed by like one of the guys that did special effects for stuff like Spider-Man, like Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies and stuff. And Patrick McGee, I think was his name. So, you know, it's a thing that I just noticed, and I'm sure it's been going on. I'm sure this is not like, you know, some new phenomenon, but anyway, that alone got me interested. And then, you know, when you sort of look over the synopsis for this film, and it's about these they call them treasure hunters, or they're geocachers. Treasure hunter is a little bit is being a little bit generous, and they stumble into this world of mutant pig people. Yeah, that's the plot of this movie, is that these geocachers in way out of their element, sort of cross some boundary into this alternate race of mutant pig people, and that's the movie. And you might think that this would be something that'd be kind of over the top and very self-aware, like something like an Interplanetary or something that I talked to Chance Shirley about, but it's really not. It's actually played very straight, and not straight in the filmmaker is self-aware, but a straight. And if you had told me that going in, I'm not sure I would have said, hey, that's probably going to work. Or I might have said, no, I don't know if that's going to work or not. But it works. I was really surprised. And I think it's what makes it work. It's they really sell the world. And I think what it is, I think the reason that this works as well as it does is there is a veteran cast. The main character, the one that's on screen the most, is Audrey Duke, and she's got just dozens of film and TV credits. I recognized her, but wasn't quite sure exactly from what movies. But she was in Bloodcraft, she was in Spring, and she just I guess had a recognizable face. So, you know, I don't remember exactly what movies I've seen her in before, but I know that I'd seen her in a lot, and just looking up her credits, I mean, she's definitely been around quite a bit. One of the other main characters, I guess, early on is Daniel Roebuck. Here, you're talking about a guy who's been in big movies like Fugitive and the sequel U.S. Marshals. He was in Final Destination. He's always playing, you know, like an authority figure, you know, kind of like a cop, something like that. And you know, and here he's just playing one of these, you know, geocaching guys. He kind of like looks the part. He sort of looks their age. So there are there's veteran talent in front of the camera. There's veteran talent behind the camera. So this movie really comes together in a way that I was not expecting at all. And it really kind of blew me away. It's also kind of amusing that all the characters are named after animals. You know, Daniel Roebuck, his name is Garrett Reed, but everyone calls him Wolf. The Audrey Duke's character is Scarlet Lamb. There's a guy named Turtle. This guy has a girl named Kitty. One of the other main characters, female characters, is Sable. There's a guy named Griffin. You know, that was kind of interesting. This is a fun one. it's easy enough to find on Amazon Prime and on VOD. It's it really, I think, will take a lot of people by surprise if they give it a shot, because it's got the, again, it's got this really cheesy premise, but they're playing it very straight, and you know, for whatever reason, it just works. And I was really, really surprised by it. So that's Wild Boar. Fantastic movie. Check it out. I mean, really, like, nobody is watching this thing, and that's a shame, because I think you should. Okay. So, next movie came out in the early part of the year, from Giles Anderson. It's The Dare. This has Richard Brake in it. Like I said, it was directed by Giles Alderson. Sorry, may have said that wrong. And it kind of has almost like a Saw-like vibe to it. And basically, you know, we see this guy with his family, you know, wife, kids, that kind of thing, doing the family thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's been kidnapped, and he wakes up, and he's chained in this room. I think there's some other people there with him, and there's some connective thread to why they're all there, that they're, you know, sort of trying to figure out the whole time. So, you know, it's very, there's torture and gore. It's really, really mean-spirited. This one was really enjoyable. You can find a review of it up on Modern Horrors. It's you know, Richard Brake is in it. It's just fantastic. It's really brutal, and it's a lot of fun. And really, again, like, you know, even though, you know, sort of we covered it at Modern Horrors, but you know, it really, you know, sort of went unheralded throughout most of the year. I haven't heard it come up on a lot of, you know, like, best of the year type lists, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not quite, you know, top 10 caliber, but this was just such a stacked year, and you know, like I said, I think it, like with all these movies, I think it just sort of deserves to be called out and recognized a little more. So this one's still, you know, VOD. Hasn't quite hit streaming services yet. I mean, maybe if it finds its way onto Shudder, or finds its way into Netflix or Amazon Prime or something down the line, people will find it. But for now, you can go out and search for it. Like I said, it's got that kind of gritty, brutal revenge, you know, sense to it. Great Richard Brake performance. That's you know, it's one to keep an eye on. Okay. All right. Peripheral is the next one. I'm going to only mention Peripheral very, very briefly, because I did put it on this list. It's a little bit unfair to put it on this list, because it looks like it dropped literally right at the end of the year, at least in the US. It had maybe a little bit more of a run leading up to the end of the year in the UK. But as far as people stateside, yeah, you didn't really have a chance to see this one yet, and maybe that opportunity is coming. So I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it is it is more of a sci-fi thriller type of tale, sci-fi horror, from Paul Hyatt. He's the you may recognize him from Howl. He also worked on Attack the Block in the makeup department. So again, another, you know, sort of effects artist that's bringing his talents to the directing stage. This is just existential dread and paranoia. It is, you know, really, really, you know, sort of frightening stuff. It's evocative of things like Cronenberg and stuff like that, and again, from the director of Howl. If you've seen Howl, so you kind of know what you're getting into. There's body horror. People talked about, you know, like Ex Machina meets Videodrome. I would throw in a little bit of Cam by from 2018. That's a Netflix film where it's really like person against computer, man, you know, man or woman here, I guess, rather, you know, versus computer versus AI. Really fascinating stuff. So like I said, hopefully this gets some more recognition as the year goes on, and it won't need to, you know, be on this list, but that's peripheral. That just came out, and you should definitely keep an eye out for it. The next one, though, oh gosh, I can't explain this. I can't explain this at all as to, you know, why this movie is not being talked about.
Are you a senior?
Yeah. Half the party thought that you were our age.
Don't you think that's weird?
Nicole.
Hey.
I thought you were Nicole.
He won't tell anyone, right? Derek?
Yes, that's right. That was Kindred Spirits by Lucky McGee. Now, this is strange because nobody is talking about this movie, least of all Lucky McGee himself. He mentioned it a few times, but really doesn't talk about it that much. But I think this movie is excellent. I think that outside of May, this might be his best movie ever. And The Woman, of course, but the Woman is, well, The Woman is a great movie, but The Woman is a little unconventional, and it put a lot of people off, and that's okay, and I think that's a little bit of what he was trying to do. But in terms of a more mainstream appeal type of film, Kindred Spirits is it. And maybe it's too mainstream from a guy who's known for not being mainstream. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. I don't know why people haven't found this movie, but I think it's great. I think the performances are great. Macon Blair, the Jeremy Gardner doppelganger. Macon Blair is in it. He gives a great performance. Thora Birch is fantastic. This is like a single white female, but with more of a like a high school vibe. So you have this sort of this estranged aunt / sister, the mom's sister, who sort of comes back into their lives, and you know, she starts like cutting her hair like the daughter, who, you know, the niece is now in high school. So her aunt sort of starts coming into town and kind of starts acting like her, going to high school parties with her. So yeah, has this kind of single white female kind of vibe to it, which is really cool. Like I said, Macon Blair's in there. You might remember Macon Blair from stuff like Green Room and Blue Ruin, the Jeremy Saulnier flicks. He gives an excellent performance. It's well directed. Lucky McGee is a great director. I'm a big fan of his work, and like I said, this is one of my favorite movies that he's done. And if you're listening out there, Lucky, I would love to talk to you about it, and your larger body of work, of course, as well. But I'd love to talk to you about this one because I thought this was a lot of fun. It's not horror in the same realm as something like May or The Woman, but there is some gore in there. But it's a little more thriller-esque. It's kind of like, you know, Lifetime movie-ish a little bit in sort of the plot and the melodrama. But it's a lot of fun. I really like it. And, I think more people should check it out. It's Kindred Spirits. Give it a look. Fuck me. We're getting down to it now, guys. Two movies left. two movies left to recommend for you, and they're both bangers. Let me tell you what. They have this sort of sense of humor and sensibility that really, really speaks to me. I don't know how sort of universal that is. Maybe not very, considering I may be the only person talking about these, but that's okay. So, with that said, the penultimate film, as it were, is a Canadian movie. I'm a big fan of Canadian films, from Chris Bavada. It's called Dead Dicks.
He'll die here. Then another him's gonna come out of there. And
It'll be like it never happened.
I'm not comfortable with this.
I have really exhausted ways to kill myself.
Yes, a guy named Richard keeps killing himself and then keeps coming back to life. But his dead bodies don't disappear, hence the title Dead Dicks, because his name is Richard. This is a really dark movie. It's very darkly funny. Trigger warnings, content warnings, because it does deal directly with suicide and mental health. I am still sort of grappling and struggling with what the final resolution of it all means and what it really is saying about, in particular, about mental health and family and sort of the burden that, you know, you that someone with mental illness puts on family and sort of what that means and how that should be handled. I am not fully 100% comfortable with the way this movie ends. I'm just going to be completely frank about it. But it's so well done and put together. The performance from the main character is it's fantastic. The effects are great. It's really amazing. And there's the main character spends a not insignificant amount of the time walking around with his dick out. So you can't really discount that too much either. Dead Dicks, really good movie, from Artsploitation Films. I have it on Blu-ray. I think Horror Pack did a Horror Pack Blu-ray on it. I think you can watch it pretty easily on VOD. I don't know if it's probably going to hit streaming, you know, eventually, but I mean, it's worth your money. It's worth your time. It really is, especially if the subject matter, you know, doesn't completely, put you off. But yeah, if you're uncomfortable talking about or seeing, you know, someone commit suicide, definitely keep that in mind. But you can check out my review over on Modern Horrors. It's fantastic, and it does take a hard look at, you know, sort of the grief and depression and whatnot and dicks. So Dead Dicks, that is one of my highest recommends of the year. I think it's probably one of the ones that went maybe the most under the radar of the entire year. So that's Dead Dicks. Please give it a look. It's been a long night. I'm coming to the end of this. I'm coming to the end of my my cocktail here. I have one movie left to talk about. Actually, this is actually one that did get mentioned briefly on a recent episode. If you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to the Velocipastor episode with one Brandon Steer, the writer-director of Velocipastor. He was the one that actually mentioned this next movie to me. And I went and bought the Blu-ray as a result. It's an Arrow Blu-ray. It's an Arrow release, which is all the more surprising that it's flown quite a bit under the radar.
Our monster resides here.
Yeah, we know it's Lake Michigan.
It's the name of the movie.
And this is my band of rowdy cutthroats, Dick, Nedge, and Sean Shaughnessy.
Damn it, Sean Shaughnessy!
Wow, this thing's actually pretty big.
Monsters aren't small, Nedge.
This huge monster has you in its grasp, and then it just lets you go.
Terrifying, nevertheless.
Next stop, Lighthouse Island.
Do we have a boat?
It's pronounced pontoon.
Not sure that's right.
Hey, what are we painting here?
It's a freaking landscape.
Oh, yeah. Now I can see it.
Oh, my God. This is hands down one of the funniest movies of the year. I actually just had a conversation with Terry, who does the Scarred for Life podcast along with Mary Beth McAndrews, and he didn't like this one. So maybe I'm a little forewarned here in recommending it, because definitely if you are not into the vibe that the movie is putting down, then you're not going to enjoy the movie, because for better or worse, this movie picks a lane and it stays with it for the duration of the movie. So, you know, the voice, you know, that you heard of the guy introducing everyone, "This is my hearty crew, Sean Shaughnessy," that guy, he does that the whole movie. I mean, that's just his character, and he's in character the whole movie. That's also the director. He plays that character, and I bought the Arrow Blu-ray and I watched the director's commentary, and he starts off the commentary using that same voice, and the whole cast, I think, is there for the commentary, and you know, and I think one of the cast members even remarked, like, "Oh, you know, it's a good thing that voice isn't going to get old." And he kind of dropped it, I think after that. I think was shamed into you know, behaving somewhat more normally. But in the movie, man, that's the character, and that's what he's like the whole movie. This is high energy stuff. It's crazy. You know, it's been compared to stuff like John Waters and stuff like that. It's just completely batshit insane. It's totally free, totally truly independent filmmaking. It's just whatever came into this guy's crazy ass brain. His name is Ryland Brixen Cole Twos. Yeah. His four names. I'm dying to get him on the show, Ryland. If this episode finds you somehow, if somebody sends it to you, if somebody out there listening knows this person, please send him my way. I want to talk about this movie. I want to talk about every scene and every second of it, because it's just so funny and so amazing. And it's just so clear that, you know, sort of every, you know, frame of it was, you know, put together, you know, very intentionally, with this sort of mood and this vibe in mind. I really, really dug it. I think it's actually quite an achievement, and it shows, you know, just what you can do if you have this vision. And, you know, you sort of refuse to listen to anyone that tells you can't do this or you can't do that. You know, there's animation and green screen work and all this stuff that looks, I mean, it looks ridiculous, but it looks amazing. And it's so much fun. And it's just got this self-awareness to it and the sense of humor, as you heard in the, you know, in the clip, you know, from the trailer, where the guy's like, "Well, yeah, we know the monster's in Lake Michigan. It's the name of the movie." Because the name of the movie, did I even say the name of the movie? I don't know. I don't remember if I said the name of the movie. If I didn't, the name of the movie is Lake Michigan Monster. It's a real treat. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's an Arrow Blu-ray, which, I mean, should tell you something right there, because, you know, there's always something to, you know, the movies that they pick up. So that's, you know, 2020, the year in movies from the not suitable for anyone perspective. You know, I'm really excited about 2021. I can't wait to, you know, put some more interviews together for you guys, and, you know, bring more attention to these movies that, you know, that nobody's talking about. I have this kind of reinvigorated energy for the year. And I'm really happy and really excited for it. And, you know, it's hard for me to kind of promote the show, because I don't want to promote, I'm not trying to promote myself. This show is not about stroking my ego or, you know, making me famous. This show is about, you know, bringing more awareness to these modern, you know, these contemporary, you know, sort of quirky underground films, and that's what it's really about. But I have to recognize and remember that that the higher you know profile I am, the more effective I can be at helping people. So I do you know kind of want to do that. So if you really believe in this show and what it's about and the mission, then you know then I encourage you please to share it with people. Even if they don't end up listening, you know, maybe they'll at least subscribe and see some of the titles and just watch the movies. If you guys watch the movies and don't listen to the show, that's fine. But it would help, people to, you know, sort of rate and review the show, and that'll help people find it, and that'll help people more people not listen to the show, but at least find it and be aware of it and follow the movies. You know, follow me on Twitter. You know, at Finn Horror, at NSFA Pod. You know, send me an email, notsuitablepod@gmail.com, and send people my way. You know, if you have a film, if you know other filmmakers, if you know somebody who'd like to be on the show to talk about a movie that they've never heard anyone talk about, maybe that there aren't a lot of podcasts on. You know, send that my way. I'd love that. And, you know, let's just plan to spend 2021, spending a little bit more time than in years past with, you know, films that you might not have given a chance. You know, you can discover some really cool things, and, you know, you can be, you know, sort of on the ground floor and be the first one to, you know, sort of know about, you know, some new filmmaker or a new crew or maybe a new actor or something. There's a lot of value there to be had. So please, if you're on board with that, then, you know, help me out and help me, bring more attention to this and, you know, sort of help further the mission of the show. So that's the show. Guys, thanks for sticking with me through all that. Happy New Year. Look forward to spending another year and another season together.